don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. The major bye rounds are in the rearview mirror. We soldier on to round 20 with just one Origin match to go. Backups on the horizon, final team zoning. What are the major calls this week that you need to be worried about for your team? We're going to tell you all that and plenty more around Supercoach strategy tonight on the NRL Supercoach Pod. Joining me tonight, all the way from London, nudging his way up the overall ranks into the top 1,700, I think. It's coach of the Casa Bonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Dan, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. Back to the old guard, Teddy and Turbo in the fullback position. Pretty happy with my last buy round, and team's pretty well set up, running low on trades, but very happy to... very happy to talk about where to go from today.
How exciting was it to see Turbo back in full flight, back at fullback where he belongs? 119 points after a down date, which was a bit frustrating, but yeah, very happy to have brought him in as well. It was good fun.
Looked mentally there as well. You know, the big moment for me was at half time, like 30 seconds to go on the clock, ball goes out, Turbo runs, grabs the ball, sprints to the scrum. Like, yeah, just looked like he had so much energy there. Taking hit ups, you know, just it's exactly what you want to see from him. So hopefully he's just resided himself to say, look, I'm a good player. I'm not going to worry about getting injured. Let's just go for it. So yeah, hopefully he keeps that form going.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they played at Brookie every week and if they played the Knights every week while they're at Brookie. That would be quite helpful. But they do have the Titans there this week against Dez in the old grudge match. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, very happy to be owned. And he's one of the most popular trade-ins already this week. Tommy Turbo Trbojevic, also joining us tonight. I'm not going to give him the same rap or that he's a coach on the rise, but he's looking forward to the head-to-head finals. It's coach of Flatty Burton. Jono, welcome back to the podcast.
Look, Dan and I are very similar ranked. He's into the top 1,700. I've just got an extra zero. I'm into the top 17,000. So very similar. Matt, the thing about head-to-head finals is you have to be going well enough to make the finals in your head-to-head leagues. And I don't think I'm there at the moment. But look, a few trades left. I'm happy with how my team's looking, to quote some other Supercoach podcasts. But I do think there's a few little moves I can make and tweak. But overall, I'm happy with how I'm sitting and building towards that final squad. So hopefully can make a bit of a run home.
The Terrace Crew scored 10.009 on the weekend, good enough to get us up another 50 or so places into the top 700 at 693, ticking along quite nicely. I used three trades on the weekend to bring in Turbo, Hamale, and someone else, some other player from the weekend. I can't remember already. Very pleased. Still got 11 trades left, so looking to smash through some trades in the next 2 weeks to really get my team set up for the run home. Feeling very, very good. All right, let's get into our weekly recap of the major group prize, which is, of course, the Pod Mailbag Bloodstock, 2.5% in a thoroughbred racehorse with the boys at Mailbag Bloodstock. It's a wonderful first prize. I think we had $500 cash as well, didn't we, Dan, at some point? Thrown in for the winner to pay a few train bills. I think the Podfather was sponsoring that. We better hold him to that one. Just a gentle reminder. But looking really good there is the Dead Hand Gang, and that's Quinton. He's in second place overall. He's 75 points off the lead. We're cheering him home big time. And he's running away with the pod prize. So I might actually give Quinton Dicko's number already, get it in the frame and get moving. I just saw they bought it, got another successful online purchase this week. So if anyone is interested, get in touch with the Mailbag Bloodstock guys. They do really good work, really accessible way into horse racing ownership. Don't forget, you can find us, the Pod at NRLSC Pod on X. Jono, we better just address the elephant in the room last week. Regular listeners will have noted that we were notably absent from the airways last week. School holidays and whatnot, just getting in the way of a few schedules.
Look, what can you do? I mean, we made up for it because a few weeks prior we did two episodes in 1 week. So all balances out in the long run.
We won't dwell on that too much. We did have a few technical issues last week, but we're back with a vengeance and looking forward to the run home from a massive show tonight. All right, let's get into this week's temper traps. We're going to start this week, Dan, on the temper traps with someone who's featured. I feel like he's the most heavily featured temper trap of the season, and that's Apisai Korosau, number 9 for the West Tigers. He scored 24 points and was carted off with a calf injury late in the game. Also to go along with a controversial sin binning, which just on that, I thought that was a very much fair enough sin bin. He was never square at marker. People can say all they like about that he was, but he wasn't. So Appy Korosau, Dan, are you rage trading him? I know you're an owner this week.
Yeah, the signs didn't look good, particularly for Tigers. It's pretty dire there at the moment. They had plenty of opportunities to score on against the Sharks in that game and kind of just had nothing in attack. So I think a lot of people will be and probably should be jumping off Tigers players that were popular over the bye round. I'd be, you know, inclined to sell Appy. For me, it's a little bit of a different story. I've got Connor Watson already, so I can flip him up there for my other hooker. So I've got options, and I potentially will keep Appy for the run home, which might be a bit of a pod play when people are low on trades. So, yeah, you can easily get rid of him if he's your number one hooker, probably for the likes of Watson. I think, Jono, you're planning to do that.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for you two, actually, because you guys have had Connor Watson as a massive pod for a while. And now I think a lot of these Appy owners, myself included, are going to look at jumping onto Connor because Harry Grant, just if he was fit and available this week, I think he'd be a very popular guy to go to. But with him being a bit shaky, is it a sternum injury, I believe, Matt? You're normally the injury man with what's going on.
He's got a sternum, ongoing sternum issue, not enough to keep him out of Origin, but you'd have to think he's probably a chance of a rest this weekend.
So yeah, I just think, I mean, I think Connor Watson's a great replacement, but I do think it kind of sucks for you guys who had looked at him as a big super pod for the run home, because he's about to become, I think, a whole lot more popular, and he should.
Dan, he's obviously got that injury, looked like a calf. Like, does it ongoing performance issues there? Even if he's only out for a week or two, that's still going to probably, he's probably going to have some level of impact on performance carrying around calves. I know they according to NRL physio, they notoriously linger around.
Yeah, if it's a calf tear, like it could have been just someone fell on his leg and he was pretty sore, beaten up. The game was out, gone already. So he's a pretty important player for them. So they just kind of put him onto the bench. If it's a bit of a corky calf, then he'll be right to go when he comes back. If it's a calf tear, it might linger. The concern is there's no real good test or imaging that can kind of tell you whether a calf is perfect or not. So, it depends how much they want to rush him back. He might not be 100% when he does come back if he's torn his calf in that last little bit there.
Sticking with the Tigers, he Galvin, Jono, I mean, it's hard to say put in a stinker. He got 32, which I think is pretty much his floor. He had no attack, and the Tigers had no ball. So it'd be unfair to say he had a stinker of a game. I actually thought he started the game quite brightly. He's over 50% owned in the top 10%. Coaches are selling this week. He's 571K. I'm really torn on Galvin. I'm probably going to sell him to Cleary, whether it's this week or next week. But there's something in the back of my mind saying that he's actually going to average really well on the run home.
I think he's an interesting one, and I'm going to be a bit of a fence sitter here and say it's very much a team-dependent situation, I think. But Dan and I were talking pre-pod, the idea of you can go down from Galvin to like a Matt Burton is got to be pretty tempting, I think, like with you actually being able to make money by going to Matt Burton, who's got that dual positionality, is quite interesting. I'm personally going to hold. I do agree with you, Matt. That's about as low as he's ever going to go. I think it's his second lowest score of the entire year. So I'm going to hold, but I do think he's a pretty fine sell option too. I don't think you're going to miss out by selling Lockie Galvin, But when trades are pretty tight, I'm content holding and playing him as I need to.
Dan, while we're on 5'8", halfbacks, Dylan Brown, he scored 52 on the weekend. He updated from 39. He always gets over 50, so not surprising to see him update over 50. He's under 600K now. He's leaked cash. He's very, very highly owned. Is he someone, they've obviously got the buy this weekend. Is this, there's something there that, that says, look, let's try and take on Dylan Brown as an antipod?
If you think Parra can go any worse, then I think so. But I think it's looking very dire at Parra, and Dylan Brown is still punching out some decent scores. So I think the only way is up for him. The duality to go to halfback now is really vital, and it's going to be really vital in the last few rounds because there's going to be injuries, there's going to be restings. So going back to Galvin, like that would be the only reason in my thinking for getting Burton in is because he has the same, he's got that halfback flip. So I think that's so vital. Dill Brown, Parra can't go any worse. So I think he's a massive just hold on and play him as your top 5'8".
Yeah, I'm in the position where I've got Cody and Dylan Brown. So one of Cody or one of those three, get Brown, Cody, or Galvin needs to go to Cleary. And I love the option of owning Cleary as your number 1-7, then playing Cody or Brown at 5'8", whoever's got the best matchup, and then just flicking those two. If there's an injury to any of those three, they all cover it. I've got Jai Gray at 5'8 at the moment, so he'll just sit there as my second 5'8". Won't ever really have to play him, which is ideal in that setup. So I'm probably leaning towards selling Galvin, but I'm fully prepared for egg on my face. I think, as Jono said, and I don't think that's a cop out, Jono, either. I think it's entirely team dependent. It's very much how your side is set up, Dan.
Yeah, in that scenario, I think you're right. I'd wait until, say, the Roosters have the bye in round 23, where you can maybe get Sammy Walker for their really good run home. I'd probably, for you, I'd hold that Walker and Brown, and hopefully they go on a bit of a tear. You could maybe flip them later in the later stages.
Yeah, just on that, like on the Galvin specific to Cleary, because I think that's something that a lot of coaches are going to do this week through their duels. Galvin has got a good matchup against Souths. He's got a high break even. I think his break even is nearly 100. Cleary's got a break even of 181, but he's at home to the Dolphins week one, returning from a hamstring injury. How do you think about that, Dan? In terms of, is this week the week for that move, or do you roll the dice on Galvin, sort of getting within 20 points of Cleary and making that move next week?
I think it's one of the toughest decisions for the year. Particularly, like, I'm not near the top, but if I was near the top, I would be. That would be such a hard decision to make, I think, because one, obviously, both are going to lose cash. I think Galvin will bounce back and go well and with a 60 or 70 this week at least. So he's not going to lose a huge amount of cash. But then it's like the fear is, what is Cleary going to do this week? Like, if he comes out, bangs 130, that's 50 to 60 points extra. So, yeah, really tough decision. Jono, what are your thoughts?
I just think that for anyone who's outside the top 5,000, the decision's not difficult. I think you just have to do it and hope that people above you play it safe and go, oh, maybe I can get Cleary cheaper by 90K in a week's time. I think if you're trying to chase and make ground back up, I think you just got to take the plunge on Cleary this week and hope that people above don't do it, and then that Cleary comes out and gets a massive score this week. I think it's worth the risk for people in that situation. If I was higher ranked like you guys are, I would probably find it to be a bit tougher as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. So, yeah, by holding off, you get an extra week's worth of information. Like next week, who knows what happens, the landscape changes. You also get Cleary first week back, probably the highest percentage chance he re-injures that hamstring. We've seen that happen already once this year. So I think there's merit to holding it, whether like Dolphins at home, 2 p.m. on a Sunday, like fixtures are just not really going to get much better than that for the Panthers. So it's pretty scary what he could do. The last name on the temper trap list tonight, Dan, it's one who's near and dear to your heart, Jermaine Asako, who's down to 600,000 now. The Dolphins got a really tough run. He scored a right on the weekend, 69. He looks to be carrying some sort of elbow injury. I don't know. Like, I've never seen so much. Looks like his arm was in a cast. Never seen so much strapping on an elbow. Didn't really seem to impact his performance, but he was reaching for it noticeably during the game.
Very, very concerning from my end. Very tough run for Dolphins. Isaka, he's pretty bulletproof when it comes to the runs. But just on the weekend, it depends where they're firing. So obviously they were looking to go left a lot. Bostock, very good performance on the weekend. It's a tough one, but I'm pretty happy to sell him just because of his popularity. So it feels like a little bit of a waste of a trade at this time of year. Because he'll still average 55 to 65 at least. But you're probably just looking for those matchups going up to the ultra premiums in the likes of Karaz, Brian To'o. If you've saved a lot of bank, I think it's probably worthwhile bumping up to a better premium who might go 70, 80
I'd
average.
I'd love to own To'o. My God. I want to get a piece of that Penrith backline. It's just not very clear who it is. You got To'o at 866. You got Targo, who's done nothing, 398. Taruva got dropped last game. Alamotti played instead. It's not very clear who the right man to pick up there is. And obviously the premium option, Dylan Edwards, but he has a lot of competition for fullback slots. So going to be a very interesting finish. I'm kind of with you, Dan, and I'm pretty flush with trade, so I'm actually going to look at Isaka out. The only thing there is I would like to make some money on that trade, so I need to, like, just so that I can get, like, Angus Crichton next week or Cleary next week, whoever it is, I decide to delay on that. So you kind of need that center wing pod. Like, Tago could be the man. Like, I don't know, that might be worth the punt. So we'll have a think about that one. Jono.
No, I just wanted to say I am kind of similar with you in that I understand the thinking of where you guys are coming from. He's not going to a suck go for me. He's going to a suck stay. I just think with the amount of trades that we have left at this time of year, from an actual playing perspective, I would feel comfortable anti-potting Isaka. But with the amount of trades left, Matt, you said you're flush. A lot of people aren't.
I think that's fair, Jono. But look, if you're going to come on with that, that's like I'd expect that from Tubes. But That's.
Can I be honest? I didn't have that much analysis. I just thought of that joke.
It was real good, deep analysis. If people don't have the trades, don't worry too much about it. Oh, very good.
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical!
All right, tonight we're actually going to dive into some strategy discussion, similar to what we did last week. Last time there was a State of Origin match on. We're going to try and rope Chris and Tubes into a late week pod to go through some positional analysis. So now that we've mentioned it, they're clearly on the hook for that. But Dan, let's get stuck into a bit of strategy chat. And where did you want to start here? What topics did you want to delve into first from a strategic perspective? You're our strategy
man. Throwing me under the bus a little bit there, but there's a lot of ways you can go. I think you're probably first just looking at your individual team situation. So there'll be a few scenarios. Some people will be flush with trades, I think a bit like yourself, but probably running a few people that need to get out of your team. If you're flush with trades, I would automatically start going hard at trading. If you've got a boost and you've got a fair few players that you want to get rid of, now is the time to do it. So just really clear out the deadwood and then go hard and bring in players which are either going to be pod center wings who you're going to play on matchups for the run home or just your out-and-out keepers, the likes of, as you said, Angus Crichton, Nathan Cleary, Payne Haas if he's playing this week. I'd just be looking to really stack that side as much as possible. For myself, I'm in a very different situation. I've got quite a stacked side already, but I'm very low on trades. So currently running eight trades to go, but I'm pretty well set up. But I'm still contemplating just stacking my side this week and then just holding maybe 4 to 5 trades for the run home, which I think is fine, but it's much more of the risky option. Rather than playing it safe, but I don't think there's necessarily any issue.
I think you've got probably the median amount of trades left at 8, Dan. I would say I've got 11. I would say that's probably in the top 15 to 20% of teams. a number of trades left that are well ranked. For your point you were making there about that you would burn hard on trades now to set your team up if you are flush. How many are you talking there? Is that sort of where you are, eight and above? Is that where you would go and then be looking to set yourself up with sort of, you know, maybe four trades for the run in the weeks after the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think if you've got four trades, I mean, the obvious one is the Roosters are going to be very popular purchases. So they've got to buy in round 23. So you've got to just count your numbers for Roosters. Obviously, a lot of them are guns, and you kind of want to hold on to a lot of them. It's really tough to get rid of them because they're all going so well. So I think if you, up to round 23, if you've got four or five trades, then I think you're going to be okay. So if you're coming into that round 23 with like two or three trades left, I think it's going to be a big issue. So I think right now, if you can have eight after this week, then you're
what about the inverse scenario to that, Jono, where if you don't have too many trades left, so just say you're running five, six, seven in the bank, maybe less for some teams. How are you approaching this week and beyond? Do you think the mindset can be similar to Dan's, or are you kind of just trying to hang on for the next couple of weeks, make a couple of tactical moves to then get your sort of self team ready just to make it, you know, sort of one to two big upgrades to get you home?
Look, I'm a super coach player who tends to lean a little bit more towards the conservative side. So if I had six trades left, first of all, I'd be hoping I was pretty close to my final team and didn't have a lot of work left to do. If I had six, I'd be staying pat if I could for the next couple of weeks and trying to actually reserve some trades. We're talking flush with trades. I wouldn't want to flush them away if I was down to six trades, because we know what's going to happen over the last few rounds of the year. There's going to be injuries from blokes who are fatigued from a long season. There's going to be teams resting people like crazy. If you're down to six trades and you plan on making a few over the next few weeks, I think you're in big, big trouble last week. And Dan, don't mean to throw you under the bus here, but I think you can probably speak from experience from last year. I think you had not many trades left coming into that period and were completely stuffed those last few rounds. Please do correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think I had zero trades the last three rounds. And potentially only had like nine players playing in the final round. So it was absolutely carnage. That, you know, saw my rank go from, you know, the low 2000s or something to blowing out to 7,000 or something in the last round. But it's the risk you've got to take. I think a lot of coaches are up the top because they've taken a lot of punts and have low on trade. So a bit of luck has to go your way at these times of years. Maddie,
I'm going to go. I'm going to blow through trades the next 2 weeks now to really set my team up. You touched on the point around just getting that deadwood out of your team. I think that's the really key point, is that teams have deadwood to varying degrees. And however many trades you have left, that's just going to want you have to get the, you have to put up with some of that if you're low on trades. And if you're high on trades, then you can get rid of all of it. So like I've got like KPP, Cardi, Sean Lane, I got rid of last week, which has actually worked out quite well. I held Terrell May for an extra week, and I still might even hold Terrell this week for his big round 20 game. I've just got a ton of junk, or not a ton, but a bit of junk still to get rid of. But if you were low on trades, like Cardi is probably someone you can hold. KPP is probably someone you can hold. Sam Hughes, even, like, you can kind of have a look there now because Max King's out. It's kind of just that tolerance threshold for those not so great options. Then you just need to pick your targets. So just say you've got six trades, you've probably realistically only got two targets you can go after for the run home from here on out. That you can acquire, even then you've just got to figure out the best week to get them. Does that resonate, Dan?
Yeah, I think so. I'd be looking at it from a points perspective, what you're looking for players in your team who aren't in probably your strongest 17 most weeks, and you probably want them at a 50-point average at least. Someone like a Brendan Hands, I know a lot of people have. We talked about you can probably run him home as your second hooker. Probably a little bit of a different scenario now with Arthur on the bench and Appy going down. So if you JMK going down, so these premium hookers are going down, and it's looking likely that a lot of players are going to have to play Hands as their first hooker if they don't start making trades there. So, I mean, he's probably borderline has to be sold, and you could probably sell down to make some cash to enough or go up to a Watson with some dual flips, that sort of thing. But yeah, I'd look at probably 17, 18, 19 guys who you want averaging over 60 plus. And then those last few places in your team, you want them at
that
least
averaging
50. That
makes sense. Jono, averaging 50. What can you add to this conversation?
Yeah, no, look, I like what you guys are saying. I think that that's where you need to be smart about the kind of players that you look at and look at keeping, like guys like Josh Curran, who is going to be sub 500K at the moment. He previously might have been someone that people were looking to upgrade to maybe someone like an AFB or a Payne Haas or a Mitch Barnett. But with the news of Max King, and like you mentioned before with Sam Hughes, Matt, guys like Curran, you might need to now reframe, save a trade and keep him and take on some of those higher, you know, more expensive front row forwards. And I think that applies to players like, for me, like Galvin, you guys were talking about selling Galvin, whereas I'm thinking he's someone I'm going to keep because I don't think there's the upside in other players that's worth me using a trade on him. Dan?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think like someone like Galvin's perfect. It's just situational dependent that he's a half and there's so many ultra premiums in the half position, like half back specifically, that you can flip him to. So I guess what I'd say, going back to the Deadwood, Matty, you might be in this position, getting rid of a few players. Obviously, teams are going to have some decent runs home coming up. Some teams are flying. Some teams you want to jump off the ship straight away. Apart from the Roosters, is there any value in maybe loading up on some good combos or multiple
the
players?
The Knights are the team that spring to mind immediately, but their run home doesn't start until like round 24 or something, their last four games. So obviously there you got Ponga and Marju, who Marju's very highly owned already. Best and Gagai to a lesser extent. I'm not really a Gagai man. He doesn't really get it done for me at his price tag. They're an obvious one. Sharks, obviously they showed what they can do on the weekend. They had multiple guys go 90 plus. I think they had like six guys go 90 plus on the weekend. So you've got your Ronnies and your Braden Trindles there. Like Trindle was a bit of a pod half option last week. Again, not for me. They've got the bye this week. I actually don't think that's too bad a thing. I saw like Ronaldo and Nico are still like some of the most purchased players. I'm not on either of them. I will consider Ronnie next week because he's going to go up in value and they've still got a really good run. I just don't like his inconsistency. Sharks are still, there's still a question mark about the Sharks' form. I think they're going okay and they've just got a delightful run. I don't really know. Manly are the traditional combo team, like with Garrick, Turbo, Saab now on that right side with Olakuatu and Cherry Evans. Like that's like one of the most potent edges in the comp. I'm pretty stacked though now with Garrick, Turbo and Olakuatu. I don't know that I want to invest any more in that combo. There's probably another Penrith or the other obvious one with a really good run, but they're a bit tricky to buy. What do you reckon, Jono? Good.
Matt, I'm going to...
That's all right. Dan's doing a good job of it tonight as well.
For asking a question myself. I know you don't like
it's open,
that.
Open, but, it's open forum, yep.
Oh, so it's open. It's open. We can all ask questions. you mentioned Penrith, and it just tweaked for me. We're talking about good teams and combos. How much stock do you guys put into worrying about that final round with players being rested? And maybe does that factor into your decision-making when targeting players from those top-tier teams like the Roosters, who I know you guys have a few of, like the Storm, like Penrith, teams who are probably...
Can I answer for Dan? Because I know what he's going to say. He's going to say that it's all about team balance, Jono, and you should never overinvest in from the single team too much and leave yourself exposed for situations like that, particularly given these teams have buys. And we are exposed to restings in the last round. You're 100% right. And not having too many from one team is still going to be important. And not having too many from that collective group of Storm, Roosters and Panthers. Dan, how close did I get?
Yeah, look, I had 2 points to make, and that was probably the second point about the team balance. You're saying this year, though, like I've really honed in on team balance or not stacking areas too much. I'm currently running the 6 best second rowers in my second row, so haven't really listened to my own advice on that front. Yeah, I think for me, team balance in terms of 3 probably from a combo is enough. 4 and 5, you're getting on too many. Like some weeks you might get that, like Manly this weekend, like that right edge. I think everyone went berserk, but that's not going to happen a lot. So I think 3 max from a team balance perspective. And then to your original question, Jono, about are you worried about buys late or restings late? Massively. So players that come to mind are like, say, Cam Munster comes back. He's probably going to be rested the last few rounds if Melbourne have guaranteed a top 2 position. Panthers, massive restings. So it's just the teams. I'd be looking at teams that have to play well and have to play their strongest teams coming into those last few rounds.
This might be naive of me, but last year the restings were the most extreme they've ever been in the final round of a season. Is there a chance that a lot of that came down to the fact that the top 8 was pretty set, as well as the top 4 teams within the top 8 were pretty set, so teams had the luxury to do that? Like, is that maybe, are we overblowing it in our minds and potentially this year, if there's still teams fighting for spots in the top 4 and the top 8, that they won't have the luxury to rest like they did last year?
Yeah, I don't think it can get worse than last year, but if it's similar, we're all in trouble. So, yeah, I don't think it's worse because of that point exactly. Teams were kind of guaranteed spots.
The only hope we've got there, though, is that Roosters are not, like, there's not a clear third-place team that can't go top 2, because Storm, Roosters and Panthers are pretty much locked into that top 3 now, the way it's all fallen. Cronulla as well, but 3rd and 4th's the same. Cronulla have still got a job to do to make top 4. It's very tight from fifth to sort of 12th at the moment. So I think you're right that we probably won't be as extreme. It does speak to team depth, though, and how many nuffs you actually want to be able to run in your team to be able to go, okay, even with restings, I'm going to be okay. I've got a 23 or 24 man squad that are playing. Dan, how many nuffs are you currently running, and how many are you looking to run? And how many are you looking to get to, say, by sort of round 24 or around that point, maybe even earlier?
Yes, I'm currently running 1 nuff.
Do you want to just give a quick overview of what a nuff actually is, just in case there are people who don't know?
Yeah, so a nuff is basically a non-playing reserve who you ideally want at bottom price, so you're not wasting any cash there. So $204,000. Usually dual is useful. So if you can flip them around, depending on the trades that you've got to make. But basically someone who's not going to play, you can use them for the VC loophole and has some duality. So Miles Martin, Ethan Roberts, these sort of guys you can look for and usually want them in your forwards. So front row is definitely an option where you first want to get enough. So for me, I've got Miles Martin in the front row forward who can flip down to second row forward. I'm considering nuffing out someone else this week. So I think you can probably run with 2 nuffs at this stage. And then late in the season, I'd probably say 3 is the max. Yep. Going on what happened last year.
Yep. Yep, I'm in a similar boat. I've got 1 at the moment. I'm actually looking to get enough this week, looking at Jed Cartwright, even though I don't think center wing second row is the best enough this year. I think that it might be useful. So he's an extra 10K. I've already well covered with Fainu and Miles Martin flip-flopping between front row and 2RF. I would love a enough second row forward hooker to be doing some. Doesn't exist. No. But I mean, Junkie Granville still kind of, he might be nowhere near that Cowboys team. Could take a pun on him.
It's gonna be the Junkie Granville tour last few rounds.
Surely not if they're gonna make the 8, though. It won't be. But he likes playing him in the middle, doesn't he? I couldn't believe he'd played like 9 games this year. I didn't even realize. But yeah, it doesn't exist that position, unfortunately. I've also got Jai Gray. So, like, there's every chance he turns into enough at some point. Like, hopefully he makes money to about 500K or so. Then you can go flip him to a different run home 5-8 if you've got the trade. But every chance you're stuck with Jai Gray for the rest of the year. So very big chance if Trell comes back that he ends up being enough as well. So I probably won't go for a third enough until the Jai Gray situation avails itself. But I think you're spot on. I think two or three is where you want to go. Jono, what do you think?
I am more aggressive enough, so I think, than what you two are from what we're saying. I like to go with four in my final squad for the end of the year. I generally like to run with one at hooker, one at front row forward, one at second row forward, and one at centre wing is my general look at it. I am going to use the phrase of the podcast, flush with trades, which might have to be the episode name because we've all said it about three times each. But flush with trades, I like to have four. If I am struggling with trades, I do like to try and provide a bit more team depth. But I would rather have a really strong 21 of absolute premium players and nuff out those four other spots if I can. But again, that is with the big asterisk that I
must
be flush
with trades. Is that, Jono, because you are worried about, like, I know you said you're not quite up there, but is that like a head-to-head mentality as well?
No, it's just wanting to try and run out the strongest possible team and get the most points. I'd rather have 21 strong players than 23 that includes a couple of guys who might not be the best in their position.
It's an interesting one. Like, I am worried about restings last week because I don't think it's a case of last year was a one-off. Like, I think with sports science now, teams like really protecting their players, they are more inclined to rest them. Obviously, if there's something big on the line, like a top four spot or a top eight spot, then they're not going to rest. But if they can afford to, they're going to. Like, it's just, it's too important, these teams. Like, it's been a big thing in the NFL now for a while. AFL as well. Like, it's a growing phenomenon that I think that, yeah, like, it just makes me a bit nervous still. In saying that, if you've got the trades to make it happen in round 27, which is obviously when it's going to happen, maybe 26 as well, then you can sort of cover yourself. And I agree. Like, you're saying that, like, we're a bit more conservative on the nuffs. I'm actually, like, traditionally a really heavy nuffer, and I love to nuff because it means you can get that extra strength in your positions in your, you know, final 21 or whatever it would be. But, yeah, you probably just want to see how a little bit plays out to be going too aggressive too soon. Would you agree, Dan? Enough said, beauty.
Yeah, enough said.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
Dan, just to round out some strategy chat here, you've got on the run sheet selling healthy players. So I presume that means the likes of your KPPs or your Sam Hughes's, maybe not Sam Hughes so much because he's not really of any quality, but Asako is probably another one. What do you sort of mean when you're getting at that? Is that sort of, it comes back a little bit to our chat around trying to get comfortable with the range of players that you have in your team in terms of the guys who are going to get you 50, like that's your threshold that you want them to get? Or is it more you're saying that you're making a sideways trade for someone who you just don't really want in your team anymore, but they are healthy and can get out there?
Yeah, so I think you said Isaka, that's a great example. Yep. He's not healthy. He's got some sort of elbow injury that looked like he had a RoboCop arm that was completely useless on the weekend. His score got massively padded with his goals, but he was just a turnstile and, you know, let AJ through several times, which is pretty impressive. So, yeah, like, he's not healthy. He's kind of historically a premium. He's 600K, but because of that injury cloud plus their draw, I'm pretty happy to sell him. So I think it's more probably around the fullback spot. A fair few people are going to be running out Scotty Drinkwater still, potentially Guthopod. I know Tubes is there. I know he's got both. Like, both are kind of fit and relatively healthy speaking, but it's like, do you then switch it over to the likes of Turbo, Teddy, Walsh, even though those players are still historically good players, but you know, you probably want to bump it up a little bit.
It's pretty interesting, like, in the context of the Sarko. Like, now I really want to sell him. Like, I'm just, you've really talking me into how do I get rid of him, but who do I get him in for? And I'm actually just looking at the center wings here, and I've come up with Dallin with Tenny Zalesniak. But then I'm obviously not buying, and I'm not advocating to buy DWZ, but John, it got me thinking about the Warriors have the bye in round 27, and I don't think you can really buy any Warriors if they're playing, if they're not playing round 27 now. AFB is the one that comes to mind for me, and I'm sure a few other non-owners out there. He's 550K, but yeah, a bit off topic, but you can't really bring Warriors in with that round 27 bye, can you?
Agreed. No.
I think you could bring in AFB at his price for sure. But most people just aren't in that situation. They've already got semi-decent front row forwards. Terrell May now looking very good with
I think I'm going to hold him
for a little while.
Like I said, this week, just get that. I think this is a really big week for May. We've seen him after Origins. I'm going to actually get those stats up to see how he's gone. But after Origins, he's done really well with minutes, where he's covering for Lindsay Collins, Angus Crichton, Dan.
Yeah, round 16 was a bit of an outlier.
That was
a bye
round, though. That was the round. That was an Origin round. This is a post Origin round.
Sorry, round 17 as well. I think his minutes were okay.
He got 75 in 47 minutes. Still very good. He obviously with a try.
Yeah.
Collins and Crichton both backed up, I think, didn't they, Matt? And Crichton played 80 minutes. So
yeah.
Well, they got Melbourne and Amy Park this week.
No, the Roosters. We'll see.
My guess is Gus.
Big game.
Probably plays. They've got that game's on. I think it's on Sunday. Saturday night, 7:30. It really depends on how Origin goes, and obviously the boys will touch on that then. But yeah, Gus is an interesting one. I want to get Gus in as soon as possible, but I am a bit worried about reduced minutes this week. But like you said, like they can't really afford. It's such a big game for them. It could be a top two, like battle for the top two. Interesting to see what happens there. Guys, just wanted to have one more topic from a strategic perspective before we get into a couple of questions to round the pot out. In terms of guys who are playing Origin this week and are targets to bring in, so you're looking at guys like Payne Haas, Angus Crichton, who else? Help me out here, boys. Who else is a post Origin target? Just those two.
Well, I don't know. I'm
Dylan Edwards. Yep.
Dan about this. I'm looking at Dylan Edwards as my.
How are you guys approaching those players specifically in the context of? Would you, if they come out of Origin healthy and are named to play, would you bring them in? Would you be happy to purchase them this week if they are part of your trade plans for the run home? Dan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I would be, I think. It depends, obviously, on their break even, how much money you got in the bank, can you wait a week? So Crichton has got Melbourne coming off a big, probably 80-minute Origin performance, high break even of 121. I think it's easy to just wait on that. Same with Payne Haas. It's not a great break even. I think it's probably in the 70s, something like that. He's notoriously, I think, had less minutes after Origin as well. But certainly I'd be looking to trade plan those two specifically into my team by round 21 if I could. So easy to wait this week. The fatigue's going to be there for sure.
Jono, are you in the same boat?
I'd wait.
Definitely for Angus Crichton. I think Payne Haas, I think I'd be more interested in bringing out. If he was a target for me in the next short term, I would look at bringing him in this week. Just looked up. He played 51 minutes after his only game he's had to back up from this year for a score of 55, and his break-even's only in the high 60s. So if I was a certain super coach out there running a Stefano Utakamanu, Davey Mulally, front row forward combination by the name of Tubes, and if Payne Haas was a target for me, I would look at him this round if he was named to back up. Especially with Broncos, they need to get in the business of winning. I don't think they can afford to rest guys. So agree with Dan.
Reece Walsh is probably another one who's if he's aimed to play though, he'll be playing 80 minutes. Broncos all have to win. They've lost six in a row. So I think Kevy's gonna be getting the stick out with Payne and giving him a few extra minutes this week. Someone's gotta cover Billy's missed tackles. So yeah, I think you boys are spot on with your analysis there. All right, we've got a couple of questions in this week. As I mentioned at the start of the pod, you can reach us at NRL SC Pod. You can also message us on WhatsApp. given most of you listening know us as well and are probably in our WhatsApp group. And if you're not and you want to be, hit me up as well on Twitter @Matt_Ricks. Now, question tonight comes from Buzz from Cronulla, avid Supercoach player, Buzz. Just bear with me while I find Buzz's question. He wanted to know, Dan, and I'll start with you, Garrick's injury, was it a precaution after a hip drop or was there something more to that? Yep.
I didn't see it, the injury itself. I think Buzz asked me a direct question last week as well about Jason Saab, and I told him it's a bit risky. Obviously thought Saab had done a hammy, but then I found out later in the week it was just some cramping, so precautionary come off with some cramping, and he did really well. So I just wait, Buzz, for some late news. Obviously team list dependent, Garrick, he's just an absolute gun. I don't know. Are you asking from the perspective of,
I think it's surely it's a holding, surely it's a holding one. Hold him? I did hear, a couple of people looking at possibly bringing Garrick in, but I think if you didn't own Garrick already, why would you bother bringing him in? Like you got to take it. You'd take him on. If you didn't own him for round 19, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's looking so scary just from a work rate perspective. He's just making points for fun. Even if they don't go well, even if they don't go down the right very often, he's still getting high scores. So I think you've got to have him. He's definitely a hold if you've got him. So just anything around Garrick, even if he's out for a couple of weeks.
If we do get a bit more news that Appy's injury is more serious than it looks like. Options also from Buzz from Cronulla, this question. Sure. Just who is the best hooker option if Appy is
sorry,
more
Matt,
injured
can you repeat
than
that
it,
one
it
for
sort
me
of
again?
Has appeared at this point in time, and who are the targets to trade Appy to?
Connor Watson, I think, is your only target for this week because he's the only other premium level player outside of Harry Grant, in my opinion, who you really want for the run home. And I don't think you can look at Harry at the moment with his sternum injury. Dan?
I was just saying for you, John, it might be a really good one to look at. If I was ranked 17,000, I would have a real good look at Tom Starling instead of getting enough, right? So get Tom Starling in. Hopefully he plays that 55 minutes. His base has been incredible. And I've always been a big Tom Starling fan. I like him. He's crafty. He can get over. He can get some attack. If Ricky doesn't play his standard Ricky Roulette and
well, he's gone 68
50, 55 minutes
he's gone 68 and 76 minutes the last two. I don't think there's been any injuries
not there, worth the risk.
He's got a break even of -31, I believe. Yeah, -31. He's 299,000, so he's going to make some cash there. So I think that's a bit team dependent. I'm with you, Dan. If you've got another hooker and you want to run Starling as your second hooker or vice, I don't know, but yeah, I'd be looking at Starling, Jono.
I completely agree. If Appy's your second hooker, Dan, I actually really like that as a call. I think there's a lot of people running with Appy as their first hooker who definitely can't look at that. But for those people in that situation, love it. Does anyone love Tom Starling, even maybe you more than his own parents, I reckon? You've been talking him up as an option for 3 years in a row. You've brought up Tom Starling. And this might be the best time he's ever suited.
I do have a little affinity to attacking hookers. Who try their best every week. You know, they just
no
they
mention
just try
for Razor Ray Stone
with
yeah.
the big boys. I really rate him. I think he's a good player.
Final question from Buzz. Final question from Buzz tonight is Cody Walker, yes or no? Especially if Latrell isn't coming back, and does that dilute South's run home? Cody Walker. For me, I'm an owner, so I'm a yes. I'm kind of excited to hold Cody. I think he looks good running that South's attack. Obviously, Cam Murray will come back into that team as well. They're going to have some down games, no doubt. But any danger – sorry, John, I just wore South. Any danger of them picking someone who's ever seen a kicking tee before? Well, surely they have an outside back who can come into the team for Tane Milne and kick goals. There must be someone in the general Redfern area they could pick up off the street. Jacob Gagai, aka Supercoach Gun. What are you talking about? 500K negative million break even. Is it just me or does every time we get the ball, does it kind of look like Cody Walker's got the ball
on
the wing?
Like an older debutant.
He's a bit of a Cody lookalike out there. Maybe
you're probably just looking hard for Cody to get his hands on it. Just, you know, they're just manifesting. But I don't think Cody's a buy now. He was 40 points before that last minute of the game against Dolphins when he went through with a line break and then set up a try on the next play.
They have the Tigers.
I mean, he can go low still. South.
They have the Tigers. They have the Tigers twice.
Arrow's gone for surgery. They're running very low. So, no, not
I think we can all agree. But no, I wouldn't be looking to buy him, but I'm not looking to sell him is where I'm going with that. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do us tonight. Thanks for your questions, Buzz, as always. And thank you, Jono, for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Dan, a little bit disappointed tonight. You had the chance. Matt threw you the ball, almost gave you a bit of a chance to host there for a bit with this strategy talk. And you're a little bit like Nico in Origin, just froze.
Yeah, leave it at that. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Yeah, we'll leave
Good
it
luck,
that,
everyone, mate. This week, and enjoy State of Origin 3. Go the Blues. You beauty.
No worries, Matty. Thank you.